myself. When my body was given over to Lave the Gravedigger, I again rejoiced, knowing that the city had been forgiven, the decree had been abolished, and my gesture accepted as atonement for the city.
After he finished speaking, Yarov awoke. Recalling his dream vividly, he was very frightened. He waited until morning, and again summoned the entire population to the central synagogue for an important announcement. When they were all gathered, he told them his dream. Everyone wept when they heard of the danger which they had just escaped. Their prayers shook the walls of the building and penetrated the uppermost heavens. Everyone followed the Rav to the cemetery, where they again prayed from the depths of their hearts, asking Hashem to show them mercy and erase his unfavorable decrees. Upon approaching the cemetery, everyone saw the small wooden marker stuck in the ground by the grave. It read, "Here lies buried Yisroel Gor." As they read the inscription, they burst into fresh tears and ripped their clothing. The Rav and Chevra Kedisha stretched themselves out on the grave itself, begging for forgiveness for the shame they had caused the man buried there so disgracefully. After everyone left the cemetery, the heads of the community went to Fivol the Stonecutter to order a permanent tombstone. It would bear the original inscription without any change, but one, the addition of one word. And to this day you may find in the Krakow Cemetery by the fence a tombstone bearing these words: "Here lies buried Yisroel Goy Kodosh." Here lies buried Yisroel.
A shidduch was once proposed to one of the children of the tzaddik, the Rebbe Yitzchak Meir of Gur, known as the Holy Ring. The Rebbe agreed to this shidduch, but his wife, the Rebbetzin, complained. It seems that, in her eyes, the girl's parents were of a lower social stature than was acceptable, and she found other reasons to disqualify the shidduch as well. To which her husband, the Rebbe, replied,
"It isn't good to know everything."
And to illustrate his point, the Rebbe told her this telling tale.
There was once a young man, well-learned in the Torah, and a brilliant teacher, who lived with a wealthy man by the name of Kahana. Now, it was the job of this young man to be a tutor to the children of the household. For long hours and little money, he taught the six Kahana boys from early in the morning until well into the day. Now, unbeknownst to a soul, this tutor was a hidden tzaddik, and as a hidden tzaddik, he had his hidden ways. So, as was his custom, each night after his full day of work, he would travel to the neighboring forest to sit and meditate for a few hours. After a month or two, the wealthy Kahana noticed the young man's strange behavior. Each night, after many hours of diligent and devoted attention to his pupils, the tutor would trek into the dark of the woods, only to return after an hour or two or more. So, one day, curious to know the reason for the nightly excursions, Kahana begged the young man to reveal to him just what it was he did there. At first the tutor refused, but Kahana pressed and cajoled and pleaded and begged until at last the young man revealed this.
"I listened to the conversation of the birds."
"He listens to the conversation of the birds!" Kahana was shocked. And the tutor revealed that he listens to the conversation of the birds because, quite simply, he understands. Hearing this, the wealthy Kahana again pressed and cajoled and pleaded and begged and insisted that the tutor teach him, that he too should understand the language of birds. To understand the wisdom of the language of birds, well, the young tutor warned his wealthy friend that to be on the proper level to acquire this wisdom, one had to follow a strict regimen of fasting, as well as various forms of self-affliction. The wealthy man wasn't put off by this, and agreed to follow everything the tutor commanded him. But his desire to acquire this wisdom was that great. The tutor tried to dissuade his wealthy friend. But when he saw Kahana's determination, he relented. The wealthy man did as he was instructed, and the tutor taught him the language of birds. Shortly after this, the tutor had to leave that job and travel to a faraway town. The wealthy man also left at that time to travel on business,
The first night of this trip, he stopped at an inn. At midnight, he heard the birds, and they were saying that his house was under the threat of being destroyed. So he returned immediately and saved his house and property. And so this happened a number of times, that through the listening to the birds, he was saved from much loss and damage. Then one day he heard the birds saying that he would soon die. And he was, of course, very upset by this, especially since he wasn't told how he would die, so he had no idea of how to save himself. Then, in the town he was in, he met the tutor and told him all that had happened. So the tutor said to him,
"Why did you want to know so much? If you hadn't known about the losses, then the pain for the losses would have been a proper atonement for you, and you would have stayed alive. But due to your knowledge, you saved your property and forfeited your life."
Having finished the story, the Rebbe said to the Rebbetzin, "And so you see, it's better not to know everything." Yerushalayim, 1954. What a festive wedding it was. The words of Torah, the singing, the dancing went on for hours. Such joy, such happiness. When suddenly, the father of the groom asked for silence. He was a famous Rosh Yeshiva from Europe, who, through Hashgacha Pratis, divine providence, had managed to escape the Holocaust and make his way to Eretz Yisrael. This man had spent almost all of his adult life bedridden. The doctors wanted to amputate his legs, but somehow he was miraculously brought to his son's wedding. So we all came in close to his stretcher near the head of the table in order to hear what he had to say.
"When I was young, I learned in the yeshiva of Stutchin. We were about 30 bochrim learning in the shul. Our little yeshiva was very much a part of the community. There was a rav and a shoichit. There was even a town shiker, a drunkard. We called him Ichi the Shiker. Nobody ever knew where this Ichi lived, because most of the time he was in the shul. He used to drink until he fell asleep somewhere. And when he woke up, he drank again. The same thing all the time. The children were always making fun of him, pulling on his beard and the end of his coat. We were all sure that he didn't keep anything of the mitzvahs. How could he? He was always drunk or asleep. One cold winter night, we were sitting and learning. Ichi was sleeping on one of the benches, snoring away. But suddenly, we feel the cold coming in. The doors of the Beis Medrash opened, and in comes Yiddish Balagola, a wagon driver. Was he upset?
"Yidden, my wagon overturned just outside of town and my horse is trapped underneath. If a few of you could help, we can get him out."
Now, in those days, I'm sorry to say, we were self-righteous indeed. Instead of jumping up to help this Jew, we began to discuss the question, like the great sages we thought we were. Is a Jew permitted to interrupt his Torah learning in order to save the life of a horse? We decided that learning was more important, so we refused to come to the rescue of this unfortunate Jew.
"Please, brothers, if not for the horse, my livelihood, my parnassah depends on it."
But no, our minds were made up. Finally, the driver left the Beis Medrash by himself, alone, disappointed, and I think brokenhearted that his fellow Yidden wouldn't help him a bit. As for our part, we continued with our learning, when suddenly Ichi the Shiker wakes up and begins to yell like we had never heard before.
What's the matter with you, Bacharim? Why, you'd better all get up quick and run and help that poor Jew before his horse freezes to death. And if you don't, why, you yourselves won't be able to walk on your own two legs. Chas v'shalom.
I answered him sarcastically, "Ichi, since when are you a rov?" But he didn't say anything after that. After about half an hour, the Jew came back. He was hysterical.
Please, I beg of you, come.